Hope. That's a powerful word, hope. As we were just singing that, the opening to that song, Cornerstone, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's our hope, church. Do we know that? Our hope is not in ourselves. Our hope is not in this local congregation. Our hope is not in our bank account. Our hope is not in our popularity. Our hope is not in our careers. Our hope is not in our relationships. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's good news, church. If you are visiting with us today, I really want to just extend a really warm welcome. You know, one of the things that I've said this before, but I like to know everybody. I want everyone every Sunday. I want to greet everyone. I want to see everyone. It gets harder with our numbers. But if I don't get around to you, I want you to know it's not because I don't care about you. I'm trying to make it around to a lot of folks, but I don't make it to everyone. But I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place today and every day. I believe that we are a loving congregation, and I hope you experience that. So if you're visiting with us today and you don't mind letting us know you were here, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. I would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to, but would really enjoy knowing you were here. You can leave that in the seat there where you are when you leave, and we'll pick it up. Sometimes people will stick those back in the pocket in the back of the chair, and they're hard for us to find. Sometimes that we go a week or two and go, oh man, there's another blue visitor card. So if just leave them there in the seat is fine. If you want to be on our email list, you can put your email there and check the box that you'd like to be added to our list. You know, I really just you hear it a lot, but this really is a family of believers, and I believe we are a loving church, so I hope you feel that this morning. So if you would, turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Now, I'll get to it in a second, but we're starting a new sermon series today, and it's going to be about Paul, and this letter that is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Galatia that he had started, and we're gonna pick it up in verse 11, Galatians 1, verse 11. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. You have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. Did you know Jesus had a brother? Half-brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Later, I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praised God because of me. Let's pray. I say it every week, come Holy Spirit, but by saying that, I also recognize that you're already here. We want you to manifest yourself in our midst. We want you to speak in power and authority. We need to hear from you. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I said, I'm starting a new sermon series. It's going to run, I believe, 4 weeks. And the series is called Saul to Paul. Saul to Paul. Today's message is a man of passion. A man of passion. I want to talk about that word passion for just a second. I kind of looked this up and kind of got a pretty good definition of that word passion. An intense devotion, feeling, or conviction. And it's also, I find it interesting that that the suffering of Christ we refer to as the passion of Christ. And that seems to fit an intense devotion, feeling, or conviction, that the passion of Christ. It's when we, whatever the subject may be, we are passionate about a lot of things, some perhaps really good things and some perhaps not all that great. But to be passionate about that, Saul was such a man. Paul was a passionate man, even before he knew Christ. I knew a man in my life a few years ago, and Cheryl and I always said that if this guy ever gets a dose of Jesus, he is going to be powerful for the kingdom. He is going to do great things because we saw the passion in this person. We saw everything this person set out to do. They did it with great enthusiasm and passion and devotion. And so as we look at this transition of Saul to Paul, before Saul became Paul, he was known as Saul. That was had Christ, he began to take on the name Paul. That was more of the name that the Gentiles, more of a Gentile name. So we're going to be talking about this transition that took place, and we're going to be walking through kind of slow. You're not going to get it all today. So there's going to be parts of Paul's journey that I leave out today because we're going to be getting to it. But today, I want to start out by saying God's Word teaches us that God isn't impressed by lukewarm. Hello. Is anybody listening? God is not impressed by lukewarm. In Revelations... we see that in Revelation 3, it says Jesus is speaking. He's revealing this word to John, the Apostle John. And he says to the church, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am going to spit you out of my mouth. Now, this is kind of gross, but, you know, ladies, you may want to cover your ears. But that really means the translation there is to vomit it out. That's what it means. I mean, God is saying, he's not saying, I wish everybody was hot or I wish everybody was cold. He's saying, I wish, pick. Just be passionate about something is what I hear that God's saying through that scripture. And when I can't, I believe God is saying, I can't use lukewarm. If you're just kind of, I don't care about anything. I mean, I just here. God can't use that. But he's looking for passion. He's looking for passion. I just ran across this man. I don't know much about him, but I liked this quote. A man named Larry Crabb. He's a Christian counselor. And he says this, the core problem is not that we are too passionate about bad things, but that we are not passionate enough about good things. He's saying passion is good. To just pick something, be passionate about it, and God can use that. God isn't impressed with lukewarm. Now, so this leads me to the next point. God's Word teaches us that God is interested in passion. He is interested in passion. This passage, you know, the thing about Saul before he became Paul and became a Christian, he didn't have Jesus. In fact, he was trying to destroy the church, but the thing God saw in him was passion. he was passionately trying to destroy the church. He was passionately in opposition to the church, but at least he was passionate. You know? At least he was passionate. And this passage today in verse 13 and 14 says that Paul is describing himself before Christ. I was advancing in Judaism. He was very deliberate and motivated to the faith of Judaism. He was extremely zealous for the traditions of his father. Now, I find that interesting that it was the traditions he was zealous for. It wasn't the God of his fathers that he was zealous for. He was zealous for the traditions of his fathers. He was intensely persecuting the church of God. So he was totally in opposition. In fact, he tried to destroy it. I'm getting a little bit ahead. We'll be talking more about his transformation next week. But in Acts 7, it says this. Now, Stephen was the... This is an account of the stoning of Stephen. He was a disciple that came along later, the believer in Christ. And he was known as the first martyr of the church. Listen to this in Acts 7. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." That almost sounds familiar, doesn't it? He might have heard that from the cross. When he had said this, he fell asleep, and Saul was there giving approval to his death. Saul was a passionate, wicked dude. Okay? Acts chapter 9. This is the words of Paul. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. So he's giving approval to Stephen's death. He's trying to discover other Christians so that he can have them arrested and having them put to death. He went to the high priest. He asked for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, big W, the way, it's almost like Jesus might have said, "I am the way." So they called themselves, referred to themselves as the way. If he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Saul, even before he found Christ, was passionate. God, I believe, saw something in Saul. This guy, when his heart is into it, when he's committed to something, he is passionate. It's almost like God is saying, "I can work with that. I can work with that. That lukewarm stuff, you know, if you're lukewarm..." And if we look around in our nation, in our world, at the people who profess to be Christ, how many are passionate and how many are lukewarm? When we're passionate, God says, "I can work with that," even before Christ. But here's what it requires. Moving on to point three, God's word teaches us that passion must be accompanied by transformation. Passion in and of itself is great, and God, it gives God tools to work with. But unless we have our hearts transformed by the love of Christ, passion doesn't get it done. Listen, this is out of Philippians. This is another letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi that he had started. Chapter 3, verse 4. If anyone else thinks, listen to this, look for the transition of how he's describing himself before Christ and after Christ. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. And he starts going down this checklist of things that he had, these qualifications. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. You can almost hear the pride in that list. A Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. So that's his laundry list of the things he had going from the passion and the qualifications he had going for him in the flesh before Christ. But listen to this. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. He's still passionate, but he's got something else to be passionate about. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Something happened to Paul. He started out as this passionate guy that God said, I can work with that. He's passionate. And then something transformed Paul. We'll talk more about that next week. When God shows up, church, things change. You know, if you ever run across someone who is a non-believer, atheist or agnostic or whatever, Cheryl and I were talking about this the other day, and I started realizing that many times the things of this world that are not of God, the argument is always emotional. Have you noticed that? It's never based on logic or truth or things that we can observe. It's always emotion. And there's always these arguments, and they're always emotional arguments about, you know, that counter the things of God. But you cannot argue with a changed life. Hello? Anybody listening? There is no argument to convince someone, no, your life isn't changed. No, you know, those things never changed about you. I mean, people can argue all they want to me about theology and all kinds of beliefs and, you know, evidence and all these kinds of things. But it's like, I know what Christ has done for me. Ain't nobody taking that away from me. I know. I know how he has transformed my life, how he has transformed me as a man and as a husband and as a daddy and as a friend and so on. When God shows up, things always change. I love in Scripture, we see it throughout Scripture. God, he'll have someone who has a name, and God changes them, and he changes their name. You ever see that? I mean, you notice it? Like Abram became Abraham. Simon became Peter. Saul became Paul. Woundedness becomes wholeness. Fear becomes peace. When God shows up, things change. I want to play it's a short video. I want to play this little video for you. It's a song, and the name of the song is I Will Change Your Name. And this is a really special song to me. Many of you knew Chuck Hutchinson. Chuck and I, we played a lot of music on Walks to Emmaus and different types of worship services. We did a lot of that together, and this was one of the songs that Chuck would lead, and we would sing on, especially on certain occasions. And it's a powerful song if you really let the message sink into your heart. So just watch this video as you think about that. Confidence, joyfulness, overflow. I will change your name. You shall no longer be called wounded, outcast, lonely, or afraid. Your new name shall be confidence, joyfulness, overcoming one, faithfulness, friend of God, one who seeks my face. God is looking for passionate people so that he might transform our hearts and use us to his glory. Are you in, church? You would just bow your heads with me. Father, forgive us when we are lukewarm, especially when we are lukewarm about you. We ask that you would well up in us a passion for you. We ask that you would transform us that we might bring you glory. Change our name, O Lord. Change our name. I pray now specifically for those right now in this room that may be relating a little bit too much to the wounded, outcast, lonely, or afraid. Change our names, Lord. Transform us. We thank you for your great love. In Jesus' name, amen. Our praise team, as they come up this morning, I just really feel like at the end of the service, or during this last song, or at the end of the service, as the altar rails open, I will be here, Billy will be here, we've got others on our prayer team that will be available. I just feel like there may be some that want to have some prayer time today. I want you to know that we would love that. We would love and be honored to pray with you about anything. So as we stand to close.
Used to be for creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure.
end a little bit differently today. We've got still got some at the altar rail. There may be others that want to come. If you would, just as in just a moment, if you'll just exit, kind of being respectful of what's going on at the altar rail. You know, they only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praised God. Go and praise God for that good news. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.